Welcome back, folks. Thomas Massie's in the fight for America's life right now against the Israeli lobby. And, of course, we've been connecting over the last couple days on Thursday and Friday. We were joined by Tiffany Cianci getting the exclusive Thomas Massie speech and interview. Very exciting to see so many people, you know, put the boots on the ground and get there for that great congressman. We're getting an update from her. She's going to call in and just give us a very quick update. I know I was watching her. I saw on X today. She put out a video about what she's had to do just health-wise to deal with all the work that she's been doing. So, I mean, she's really, you know, busting her butt. And a lot of people are of getting Thomas Massie elected. So we're going to check in on that. I do want to go to a video now from James O'Keefe because we got some good news here. James O'Keefe and his investigation into the fraud being committed with homeless people by the California government, who will get homeless people to sign up for things like petitions in exchange for cash. Of course, we had him on when this investigation first started, and he basically said, we're going to be releasing videos until we get some legal consequence. Well, it appears as though that legal consequence has arrived, and they're even crediting James O'Keefe and OMG Investigations for the break. Let's watch his announcement today.
So first, I want to talk about voter fraud and the case of United States versus Brown Armstrong, and we'll have a graphic up there in a moment. The Department of Justice has charged a longtime California signature gatherer under 52 U.S.C. section 10307 subsection C with one count of paying another person to register to vote in a federal election. The defendant, Brenda Lee Brown Armstrong, has signed a plea agreement and has admitted her guilt on this charge. According to the plea agreement, and my colleague Bill Asaley will be able to answer any specific questions about it, she worked as a petition circulator, aka signature gatherer, here in Los Angeles for approximately 20 years. And starting in 2025 or so, after Ms. Brown Armstrong had a practice of going down to Skid Row here in Los Angeles, getting homeless people to sign these signature petitions that had to do with qualifying ballot measures and et cetera, she would sometimes find that the signatures would be disqualified because the people signing these signature petitions weren't actually registered to vote. So to remedy this flaw in her business arrangements, she would then gather, starting in 2025, stacks of voter registration forms from the Los Angeles County Registrar of Voters, and then go to Skid Row and downtown Los Angeles to have homeless people first sign the voter registration forms and then sign the signature petitions. And she did this in exchange for cash and other items of value, inducements both for the voter registration and for the signature petitions. These were often small sums of cash, just a few dollars, as well as cigarettes and phone cards. On several occasions, when the homeless person had no formal address to enter on the voter registration form, Ms. Brown Armstrong provided them with a fake address, namely her own former address in Los Angeles, to write on the voter registration form. Now, the potential charges and sentence, rather, would include 5 years in prison, 3 years of supervised release, and a fine of up to $10,000. This case is important because it shows how easy it is under California law to corrupt the state's voter rolls and thereby corrupt the state and federal elections administered by the state, because when someone registers.
So that's amazing. Again, just absolute feather in the cap of James O'Keefe. He is responsible for the investigation that led to this result. Hopefully they'll be thinking twice now about using homeless people and, basically committing fraud to get their signatures. And yeah, it's a very good thing. I mean, what else is there to say? This is what happens when citizens get involved, get active, and force their government to do what's right. So big congratulations to James O'Keefe. And of course, we look forward to his next attack against the corruption here. Breaking news, James O'Keefe investigation leads to DOJ indictment of election fraudsters in L.A., Brenda Brown, the Skid Row election petitioner O'Keefe Media caught on hidden camera, has pled guilty. Election fraudster Brenda Brown has been charged with 5 years in prison, 3 years of supervised release, and a fine of $10,000. Arrests and accountability. Very, very good to see. And again, you can only imagine what they were threatening her with if she pled to 5 years in prison. Yeah, it was a pretty big crime that she committed. So, again, we'd like to see more of those arrests happening. And hopefully that'll have some mitigating effect on the ambitions of the Democrats. I want to talk a little bit about Donald Trump and religion here in just a second. Before I do that, I want to go to clip number 4. This has been going totally viral, and it's like one of the funniest videos ever, unintentionally funny videos ever. And it's not supposed to be. I mean, it's supposed to be these people bragging about their life choices and their lifestyle, and everybody's just clowning on them like they're insane. We'll go to that video in just a second. This is kind of the thing, folks. We are at the end of the day a libertarian outlet. I know that you know, people have a bad connotation or a off the mark connotation with how I interpret that phrase. Libertarian meaning to me that liberty is the highest goal, it's the highest value. And once again, liberty to me doesn't mean pure freedom. You can be free in the wilderness somewhere. You can be free by yourself and, you know, fine, you're free. But what good is that? Liberty is a combination of civilization and freedom. Liberty is when your entire civilization, your entire community works together to stop threats to you and your family so that you can enjoy your life as you see fit without coercion or suppression or oppression from the government or corporations or your heavily armed neighbor. Liberty requires civilization to even exist. That's how I interpret it and see it. And that just means that it's my northern light. It's my guiding light. It's what we're reaching towards. Now, to get there, you know, maybe you got to do some unlibertarian things, right? To get to a place of liberty, you first have to have safety. To get to safety, you have to have good men who are more violent than the bad men, right? You have to have laws that establish order from which peace can grow. So don't get me wrong. If I say I'm libertarian, that doesn't mean I just think everybody can do whatever the hell they want, whenever the hell they want. I think everybody is required to uphold a certain standard in their own virtue for all of us to enjoy the benefits of liberty and freedom. However, there's a right way and a wrong way to deal with this freedom. Because just like liberty is not a license to do anything, it's an obligation to do the right thing. Well, your life as a human being, you can make whatever choices you want. And I don't believe I have a right to come in and dictate to you what those right choices are. I do, however, have an obligation to try to express to you so that you voluntarily make the right choices. What a stupid idea everything that the left believes is, and how it will inevitably lead to disaster, ruin, and misery. Maybe not now, maybe not for a couple of decades, but there is no other outcome to this. So here's the video that's been going viral. Hilarious that they thought this was a brag. They thought this was a flex. Let's watch the dinks. Says, so when are you two going to have kids? Us. And then they look at, oh, look at all the places they've been. Oh, it's so exciting. Look at the photographs of them. Oh, they look so happy. So here's the thing. The first response I saw to this was somebody who photoshopped all of those books on the shelf of a Goodwill, basically saying, yeah, once you die, these things are just going to go to Goodwill. Here's the thing, though. Nobody would buy those books. Who would buy those books at Goodwill? They're photo albums of those people. Nobody cares who those people are. I wouldn't even look at those books if they were on the internet. Like, if they were like, hey, look at our trip to Bali. Look at our trip through Africa. It'd be like, why? Who are you? I don't care. What? Nobody cares. Nobody cares. So it's almost like, you know, people go, oh, those are just going to go to Goodwill. No, they're just going to be thrown out. They're going to be burned. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Who are you? Oh, we're going to look. I'm going to buy a picture book of some random couple's trip to Greece. Why? Who would buy that? No, it's nobody cares. Nobody cares. Now, if you had kids, those books would become treasured heirlooms. Those would become something that you pass down generation upon generation. Children who won't be born for 100 years could crack those open and say, what a wild time my ancestors lived. Look at what, you know, my forefathers did. But you're not going to leave anything for anybody. So who cares? What is the point of this? and who do you think you're like it? It's just it's amazing to me. Millennials are asking one question before having kids. It's not about money. What do they say? I haven't seen this one. What do they say we're asked? What do they say we millennials are asking? We've seen all the headlines about falling birth rates and the global trend to delay starting a family rather than getting married and having children early in their 20s. Many couples are delaying parenthood until their 30s or even their 40s. Many presume that's predominantly a financial decision, but that's not the only reason millennials are holding off. The question isn't just whether they can afford to start a family, but can they cope with the mental load that comes with it? Good Lord, you weak scum. You weak little scum. Do you have any idea what our see? This is the problem. If you like, you got to respect history to have a future, right? That's what I'm always thinking of. Like, if ever as a parent you're like, ah, are we doing enough? I just remember the images I've seen, the paintings that are hanging on the walls of my house of people literally taking, you know, going on the Oregon Trail 6 months pregnant, giving birth in a desert somewhere in Utah, and making it to California. It's like, did they worry about the hardships that came along with it? Did they stress out about the hardships of having a baby? You really, it's fine, y'all. Don't hurt the baby. Everything's fine. Give the baby food, change its diaper. That's literally all you really have to do. I mean, you can be a better parent than that, and you should, but like, I don't know. It's not that hard, folks. It's not that, and it's the most rewarding thing you'll ever do. I literally would rather have another kid than have to go through airport security. That's how I feel. Every one of those books I just see, God, how many hours do they spend sitting some godforsaken airport waiting for airport security? That sounds like it sucks. It's really not hard. And it really actually makes things a lot easier once the kid is old enough to like do work. You put them to work. It's great. It's amazing. But it's like, that's it. That's the best argument they have. Sure, we don't have kids. Sure, we're a genetic dead end. Because it's selfishness is what it is at the end of the day, which is why I relate it to like libertarianism. Because it's like, you have an obligation to have children. If you don't, you are a selfish person. Because once you have, and you can only realize this once you have kids, because you pour so much into the kid before the kid's even conscious. So you just like, you know, you're like, I'm sacrificing so much. I'm giving so much of myself to this kid, and they have no idea, and they'll never appreciate it. They just never will. They can't. They literally cannot possibly appreciate it until they do it themselves. And so, you know, you're like, I'm giving everything to this kid. I'm getting nothing in return. But one day that kid's going to have to give what I gave to him. He's going to have to pass that on to his kid. So it will be paid on to future generations. But what you realize when you do that, you go, man, this is what my parents did for me. How selfish is it to receive this unbelievable gift of life that your parents poured into you and then just go, I'm just going to keep it for myself, though. No, but it's mine and I want it. And it's just for me. It's like, well, actually, this is a gift that's been passed on since the beginning of time. And you're now deciding to squander it like a selfish heathen. How dare you? So it's just like, who is falling? Are people actually watching that? And they're like, if I don't have kids, I can get a picture book of my trip to Africa. Wouldn't I rather have that? Wouldn't I rather be able to show my friends? And it's funny because once you have kids, especially if you have kids, like before your friends have kids, it becomes a little bit tedious having to hear about your friends' lives because you're sitting there. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's hard to have kids, but like, it's so worth it. It's just not a question, right? But you've spent a lot of time. All the cliches are true, right? When you have a kid, people go, oh, you're never going to sleep again. You go, ha ha, yeah, I get it. And then like 3 months in, you're like, am I ever going to sleep again? They were right. I forgot how to sleep. So it's true. Like it's a lot of hard work. But it's so worth it. It's just crazy. They're kind of like dog. Yeah, it's kind of like having a dog. Yeah, it's kind of like that. It's so unlike having a dog. It's crazy. And so you're talking to your friends without kids, and they're like, oh, I'm so tired. I've been working so hard. And you're just like, oh, really? You think you know what tired is? You think you even can use that word in my presence? And it's just everything your friends are doing without kids is just you don't care anymore. Like, I'm, you know, oh, we went on this trip. And you're like, okay, so what? Do you have kids yet? Tell me about your kids. Because then everything about kids is like fascinating and hilarious. And, you know, you want to hear about the experiences that your friends had. And you just, that dink mentality, dual income, no kids, it just becomes pathetic. And you really can't see it until you have kids. I mean, you might be able to tell that, you know, what these people value and who they are. It is pathetic, and that should be obvious to anybody. But until you have kids, it's hard to understand just how, like, when your friends are talking about their vacation, it's just like, okay, so what? I have a child. I have three new lives that, like, are a constant explosion of hilarity. But yeah, tell me about your friggin' Bali. Oh, the sand was nice, was it? Oh, the ocean was blue? Oh, okay. Oh, really? Oh, like more blue than you've ever seen before. Well, okay. Who cares? Literally, who cares? So it's just pathetic. So again, you can do whatever you want. You can make whatever choices you want in your life. I certainly feel very strongly for people that, you know, want kids and don't have it. I feel bad knowing how hard it would be to, you know, hear somebody like me saying stuff like this, but, like, obviously that's not your fault. But for people who are choosing it, they deserve shame. They deserve to be ridiculed and laughed at for, like, being children themselves, literally being children themselves, to where, like I have with kids, it's just, you know, they don't understand certain things, and that's okay. You know, you got to let them just be silly little children. Right. And that's how these people, they're silly little children traveling around the world, taking pictures of themselves like anybody cares, like they even care. Like, nothing. I cannot imagine anything more pathetic than sitting there and going through your own photo album, your own solipsistic narcissism journal, reminding yourself what a great mojito you had at that place in Bali. Whoa. It's just so pathetic. So this is like, the thing is, you see those people and I genuinely feel bad for them. I'm laughing at them. I'm ridiculing them. I don't believe they deserve, like, respect or empathy. But, like, I want to wake them up. It's like, you don't even realize what you're missing. And it's pathetic and sad. You think you're dunking on people. And it sucks. You suck, and you don't even know that. And it's very sad. But this is the result of our culture of narcissism, of encouraging, you know, self-obsession and self-advancement. And it's all about the self. And they want you to think that a trip to Timbuktu is somehow equivalent of a new child. It's crazy. It really is. But all this stuff is intertwined. There's a reason why we're so off the rails. There's a reason why everything is getting worse and everybody can see it, but nobody's doing anything to stop it. It's because we have fully embraced the rejection of our traditional values because we have forgotten the underlying purpose of those traditional values. Nowadays, you hear the way the left wing talks about stuff, and it's as if everybody that was born before me was a superstitious idiot that thought, you know, an angry sky god would strike them down if they didn't get married and have children. No, the entire construct of Western civilization was born incrementally over thousands of years of trial and error, and it was the best setup any culture in the world has ever achieved. 1950s, 1960s, I mean, America nailed it. And nowhere has ever been as good as that place was in terms of the dad works. He works a reasonable amount. He gets paid well. The mom stays home. The community is close. The streets are safe. It worked. It worked because when things didn't work, we didn't continue to do it. And the things that did work, we continued to do. And now they've ripped out the underlying foundation that built all of that stuff. And so they point to their traditions and go, why the hell are we doing this? Why do we do this? We get married for life? That's crazy. No, it's not crazy. It's actually natural. It's good. It's the way the world is supposed to be. People come in with these completely rootless and unmoored ideas about ideally what they would like the world to be like. But it's not the way the world is. So, of course, all of their ideas are inevitably destructive. And when you look at the Alex Jones Network and you look at what Alex has done over the last 30 years he's been on air, it has been a reinforcement of the underlying values so that the principles themselves can be maintained and upheld. But without the underlying values, it's all just nonsense. And you got to know where to apply these things and where not to. And you've got to live it. You've got to live it yourself. You've got to be the example, you know, be the change you want to see in the world. And a lot of people out there, they'll complain a lot about the marriage rates. Are they getting married and having kids? They'll complain a lot about the, you know, collapse of fertility. What are they doing to increase it? You have to actually get involved and do this stuff. Or at the very least, you have to try to fix it in your own life. See, we always have this two-pronged approach that I've explained a lot of times, but essentially, we're not here to blackpill you. We're not here to even tell you things with the hope of like selling you products. Cause I see this a lot. I don't really listen to it as much. I used to listen to a lot of like true crime stuff, and it was like comical how often it would be, you know, a story about an innocent family, unsuspecting family, you know, sleeping in bed at night when masked men come in and just, and it's like the gory details. It's like the goriest thing ever. And then it's like, we'll be right back. And it goes to a commercial break and it's like, do you need home security? Right. And it's sort of the most blatant example of just like everyone's coming to kill you, but we can provide the solution. We're not grifters. We're not like telling you scary stories to then try to sell you a security blanket. What we're doing is trying to inform you about the real reason why the fertility rate is collapsing, the chemical attack that your body's under, the real reason why our entire society seems replete and filled to the brim with absolute morons, because there has been a consistent and deliberate and orchestrated and coordinated campaign to dumb us down chemically and, you know, by destroying the education system and all this other stuff. And remember, if you watch the population graph, the fertility graph in America, it is 2007 that it falls off a cliff. It is actually economic. So we'll also talk to you about how, you know, what's happening in the economic sphere is about more than just people on Wall Street making a couple extra bucks. They're using the economy as a weapon to destroy humanity by making it prohibitively expensive for good people to continue to procreate while constantly replenishing the supplies of the third world so they can breed ad nauseum for the new immigrants to replace the people that you're killing off in your home country. It's all tied in together, and it's not a coincidence that people with families and spouses and children to take care of tend to be on our side politically, because it's only the desperate and alone that are looking for daddy government to come in and rescue them. So I hope you can support us in this mission. I hope that you can have your life changed in a positive way by not just listening to the information that we provide, but by actually physically fighting back against the attacks that you're under, that we don't want you to be scared of and beaten down by, but aware of and fighting back against. We make it incredibly easy for you to do that. Right now, you're getting 40% off Methylene Blue Tincture, Methylene Blue Caps, Ultra DNA Revival, which is incredibly powerful stuff, and the Shilajit Caps and Gummies, probably my favorite product on the store, which also, by the way, has been shown to increase testosterone. I'm not a doctor making medical claims, but certainly worth a try. So you're getting 40% off all of those on thealexjonesstore.com. Methylene Red Tincture, Colostrum, and MK Ultra are all off 35% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And you're getting a full 30% off all apparel, that shirts, hats, and hoodies, thealexjonesstore.com. That's just how big our sales are. The smallest sale is 30% off, and nowhere gives you 30% off, except for us, thealexjonesstore.com. These new